I'm going to look in a minute at a verse in Ecclesiastes, but first of all, I shall read Psalm 111. Praise ye the Lord, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. In the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honourable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He has showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverent is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. And we'll turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 7, where we find these words, but fear thou God. The end of Psalm we read, holy and reverent is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 7, we have this short phrase, but fear thou God. Now, the meaning of fear here doesn't mean terror. We might think of it as a craven fear or terror, fear of great danger. It's not that word. The actual word is reverence, respect and awe of God, a sense of God. We might think of a child might reverence parents, and that would be the beginning of the analogy, but it's so much more than that, because we're speaking of God, and the reverence due him is so much higher, respect and awe. And there is a trembling, but it's a trembling joy, and it's the relationship of father and child. But yet it is God, and it is a fear of God. We remember he is God. And that, of course, is something missing in our day. We become very familiar with our God. We speak of him casually and worship him in a casual way. And our fathers did not worship like that. There was a real sense of coming before God and being in the house of God. And this fear of the Lord, they used to speak of God fearing men. And so we have this matter before us this evening, as we did on the Lord's Day on Sunday, the fear of God. Again, I say, not to be misunderstood with terror or that kind of fear brought about by tyrants. No, this is a loving fear and a sense of God. It does involve, as I said, a trembling, because after all, he's God. But let me, just for this evening, just some thoughts, seven thoughts in all, why a Christian should fear God. And the first is what I've said, but I say it now more officially. The being of God demands reverence. The doctrines of God demands reverence. The truths are high and exalted. Just the very truths about him. He is infinite and eternal. He's great and mighty, holy, pure, glorious, and many other things too. And every attribute is to be worshipped. And one attribute by itself would overwhelm us, but altogether, the being of God. We think of his just the immensity of God, and then that pure and holy immensity of God. Now, these truths should demand reverence, but the presence, it's not just the truth, but the presence of God. And when he draws near, even the hem of the garment, we could say, even the edges of God, as we find in Isaiah chapter 6, it was the hem of the garment that caused Isaiah to cry out, "Woe is me." And is that not the case in our experience? When God draws near just a little bit, our hearts tremble. We are greatly affected. We become quiet. And we become deeply moved. So certainly the doctrines of God, the presence of God demands reverence. And then we come to salvation. And salvation is a fearful matter too. That demands reverence. The verses say, the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge or of wisdom. If you take a knowledge, the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. The knowledge of knowing God is a fearful thing when our souls come into contact with God and he draws near us and we are born again within and we feel the presence of God, the nearness of God, the influence of God, the work of God in our heart. It is the beginning. You know how careless we were before we were saved, how thoughtless. But then God drew near and we became thoughtful and the fear of God came upon us. Now, because the fear of God will indeed take us to Christ. A sense of our sin, if we have a sense of God, we'll have a sense of our sin. And then we'll have a sense of our need of Christ. And that conversion experience, whether it is one memorable moment or whether it is a year, a period in your life, it is a holy year. It was a holy moment when you believed. It was not a frivolous thing, was it? Your heart was moved to the point of repentance and faith. Great fear of God produces that. Great reverence and awe, a sense of God, the presence of God. The sense of sin, we repent of our sin. The holy light of the Holy Spirit shines upon our sinful hearts. We feel our condemnation and our guilt. And we fly to Christ for mercy. We believe in him and find in him that hiding place in Jesus Christ. So we enter not just any place, but the one who is the Son of God. And our souls are joined to his person. And such an experience is the greatest of experiences. And a fearful matter. Conversion is a fearful matter. And full of awe and reverence. A sense of God. You know, we live our lives without the gospel if we are not saved. From beginning to end, just vanity, futility, as it says in Ecclesiastes, nothing, just seeking our own. But conversion, God breaks in into our lives under a great fear of God. And we are never the same again. And of course, believing in Christ is only the introduction. You know, through the Son, we come to the Father. We come into relationship with God. And this is really, you could say, the vestibule of heaven. This is the beginning of heaven. And a sense of God being our Father and looking upon us, working the Spirit, sanctifying our hearts, that conviction of sin, that purifying of our motives and our hearts and our lives. This is God at work. You know, sanctification is described as glory. Change from glory into glory. And so it's a fearful matter of being sanctified. God in our hearts. You know, don't think in small ways of the Christian heart. The Christian heart is a tremendous place where God is working. Not working in the heart of the unbeliever. He's working in the heart of the Christian. It's a great, great place. And Christ presences himself in the heart through faith. You know, have those words in Ephesians 3 and the Spirit working in the inner man, and then Christ dwelling in the heart through faith. And so we see here nothing short. Maybe I'll turn to those verses actually in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3 and the end of that chapter. If you want to turn with me. Ephesians chapter 3. That the verse I mentioned about the Spirit, strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. This great language, strengthened by might by His Spirit in the inner man. And then these words, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And your hearts there mean just the home, your being, your very, very being. And dwell means not passing visitor, but making a home. And Christ is the second person of the Godhead. So the second person of the Godhead makes his home in your very bosom. And these are great and fearful things, wonderful things. And they have great changes in our lives because of it. God is at work in our lives. We are different. And the fear of God dwells in our hearts. So then, when we speak of God to the unbeliever or to our fellow Christians, there's reverence as we speak of the Lord. We speak endearingly, but also reverently of God and of the Lord. And then assurance of salvation also must include this fear as well, that we must work out our salvation with fear and trembling. But this matter of assurance is not presumption. You can't now put your feet up and say, now I'm saved, I can just relax and freewheel home. But no, there's a real sense of testing the heart, making sure I'm saved. Now, this is not inconsistent with assurance. You can have a wonderful assurance that you are born again and washed in the blood of Christ, that you are truly saved by God. You can be sure of it and sealed in the heart. But I believe true assurance is an open hand. You never presume anything because the issues are great. Your immortal soul and God is a great miracle to be saved. And although you know you are saved, yet you never presume on it because life is still to go. Years and decades are ahead of you. Who knows about your heart? And then it must be that humility. Even though to date that you have assurance, but there must be humility regarding that if I persevere to the end, that I'm being kept thus far. So a fear of God is there in the true Christian when he truly understands the gospel. And you find that kind of language in James and Hebrews. Yes, wonderful, so great salvation. But make sure you are the Lord's. I'm sure I am the Lord's. Yes. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But make sure you are the Lord. And the two things go hand in hand and are quite right. And then if you think of the experiences of the Christian, the drawing near of God, if I could just touch upon the blessing of the Christian heart and revival. What happens in times of revival? That can be a picture of the Christian heart as well, but a bigger picture, when God draws near the church. Well, what kind of church is it? Well, you know, don't you? It's a church that fears God. In times of revival, they have experienced God like never before. And they can never be the same again. And it affects the services, and it affects everything, the preaching, the living, everything. It affects the whole of the church. The church is revived by divine visitation. You've only got to think in terms of heaven. If we were in heaven, would it have an impact on our view of God? Well, of course it would. Well, that's what revival is, to a point. It is God coming down and heaven amongst us. So indeed, There's a great fear. And this is, you could say, true religion at its most keenest and purest. Don't judge Christianity by a church which is backslidden. Ah, there's Christianity. No, it's a pale reflection of it. When God is near, that is our wonderful religion and our Christian faith. And it's full of the fear of God. When God is near, God is blessing. And then also the moment of death. The fear of God in the moment of death and facing God. Not just with assurance now, but you've lived a faithful life. You've persevered to the end. And even so, it's a very serious moment to come before Almighty God. You don't do it lightly. It's a reverence and a fear, a trembling. There's no presumption. Even though you know you are the Lord's, and you won't be allowed, shall we say, to doubt, because Christ will come and present you. But nevertheless, the whole experience will be one of great fear. Fear of God. Even though you're a Christian, it's God after all. It's the Lord. And it's the day of judgment. And it's full of trembling joy. Even in the moment of that clear identifying of Christ with you. Nevertheless, you're not going to be casual. We're full of the fear of God as Christ owns you and names you before the Father. And then, just to prove the point further, what is heaven like? As we come to the end of the journey, that God is the end of the journey, we enter the glory of his presence, well, surely the whole of heaven will be full of the fear of the Lord, a trembling joy, glory, glory. And there'll be joy in abundance, but also this wonderful reverence and sense of God filling our heart and overwhelming our heart. Well, all these things are involved with the fear of the Lord. It is the reverence of God, the respect, the awe of God, a sense of God. It is God himself. It is God. And for you not to have just a small view of God, as if he's there down below you and you have control of him. No. He's above, transcendent, sublime, and God himself. And you are down there. Not God is down there. And so there's a sense that we are so indebted to grace and the mercy and the blood of Christ. And we thank God for our salvation. I can't remember the exact words, but William Carey, that great missionary in India, the pioneer missionary to India, and towards the end of his life, he knew his life was coming to an end. And you can look in the book and see the exact words. And he said something like, "When I think of my life and facing God, I tremble. But I know whom I have believed," he said. And those things are not inconsistent. They just belong together. We are saved, but God is God. Well, those are some thoughts on the fear of the Lord. There's so much more, of course, to this most important matter, this matter missing from our lives and from our churches. May God bring us again to a true, not to a acted matter, not to just playing it out, because sometimes people can put on a holy voice. No, it's not that. It is genuine. It must be genuine, and it must be something which is true to your heart. There's nothing worse than acting this. That's an abomination, isn't it? But the true thing is something which resonates, and the world can pick it up. Well, may God help us with these things. We'll sing 103:3, I think. 103:3. Approach, my soul, the mercy seat where Jesus answers prayer. Shall we stand?